Buddy out there has experience with those things, but now I'm going to try to sniff them before I work out to just get a little extra boost. You ever tried that before?
I've smelled smelling salts. They're horrifying. They smell awful.
Do you lock in after it? Should we start taking them before the show?
Put helmets on and just headbutt each other. And
Donnie, have you ever done the smelling salts before?
Yeah, I've used them before.
What do you think?
I mean, I think they work at least for a short burst, no doubt. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't like wake up a little bit after one of those.
Pony not being on caffeine anymore makes me think one time he should have to take like no explode or C4, Donnie, just to see what happens to him. He would be bouncing off the walls of that gym.
I mean, also watch anytime, like once we get into hockey season, especially.
Oh,
anytime,
those guys.
They pan the bench, every player has a smelling salt.
I know, but it's unique to hockey. Why are the football players not doing it like crazy? Why are, if you're a closer in baseball, let's say, and you need to get amped up, why is David Bednar not smelling some salts? Instead, our listeners make it sound like he's out in the
table salt
bullpen eating Funyuns.
Yes.
Someone or called it the Starkey's show today and said, here's how you fix David Bednar. It's a four-letter word. It begins with D. It's called a diet. Try it sometime.
He was good, though. He was still heavier set when he was really good.
Yeah, good point. It's
I think
not
people
like
are just like taking a making an ad hominem attack on him because they're mad at him for not being a good pitcher, right?
And we were fine with Hefty Athlete while he was good. We love Hefty Athletes when they're good.
I think the boomerang.
But then as soon
is,
as it,
yeah.
the table turns, we start ripping them for their.
You'll get
girth.
Loved more than you'll get loved more than any athlete if you're a heavy athlete. You'll get hated if you're a heavy athlete playing poorly. If Kessel had ever really started to play poorly, the turn would have been dramatic.
Here is Joe on the fan. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We're
What's
good.
Up, Joe?
Good. I could tell you as an alum, a Pitt alum, and I've been a season ticket holder for probably, geez, I'm 55 since I graduated from Pitt High School even. I hate Penn State a million times more than West Virginia. I would hope West Virginia hung 70 points on them every time they played. I was my girlfriend. Her daughters just both graduated from WVU, and I tell her all the time, and she laughs. I hate West Virginia on game day. I hate Penn State when I wake up in the morning. Like, what, I mean, what? if Penn State played Iraq or North Korea, I would wear the North Korea gear. Like, that's how, you know what it comes
from?
You
sitting there talking to your friends, you know, that Kim Jong-un's got a really good option-based game plan here.
Right. Here's why. Let me tell you why. It's not about football. It's about the 70s, 80s, Paterno jamming, the holier-than-now stuff up everyone's rear end around the country. And especially here, right, because it was such a rivalry in the 70s and 80s. You couldn't escape that we do better. We do things right up here. That's why when the Sandusky stuff came down, everybody just spun around.
What was it called?
Wow.
Was it the Grand Experiment or the Great Experiment?
I think it was the Grand Experiment, you know,
that,
like he was going to win with excellence and honor, you know, all that stuff,
great
right?
student athletes.
Yeah, it was going to, he basically was, I'm going to serve as the one man and one program antidote to whatever you might have called it, like the SMUs, the Oklahomas, the schools looking the other way. They weren't going to do that at Penn State.
So we look at West Virginia like kind of like a slow, weird cousin. We look at Penn State like a true enemy. That's the way I do, at least, right? And I think I represent my kids. A graduate 19, he feels the same way. And I think if you talk to Pitt fans, it's like 95%.
I look at West Virginia as the guy that if I see him on a bar crawl, I'm going to probably have a good time. But technically, I'm not supposed to be friends with him, but he's pretty funny. I look at Penn State as the guy that shows up to the bar crawl with an ascot. And asks if they have any.
I don't own an ascot. Is an ascot the thing that?
So like the puffy little thing under your neck.
So it's not a tie.
No,
it's like a fancy scarf.
Yeah, you'd wear it with like a blazer, a dress shirt, a cardigan over the dress shirt, and under the blazer, and then the ascot.
Right, so that guy's basically saying that he doesn't.
He said he would root
close.
For. He would wear the North Korean team colors if they were playing North Korea in football.
So that sounds like one of the most vehement disagreements with Starkey I've ever heard in my entire life. Then,
other than pretty much every day of Cookin' Joe.
How about Starkey and Muller?
I was going to say Seibel and Starkey, I think, had more disagreements.
True.
Starkey and Muller had me subtly trying to drive him to the brink of insanity.
And?
Succeeding most days.
Here's Mark on the fan. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys. How's it going? So I wanted to talk about the Penn State rivalry, and I'm really unique because I'm a big fan of both Pitt and Penn State.
You're not allowed to do that, so you're actually not a real person. I don't believe you. You can't possibly like both.
No,
are you related to Chris Mack?
No, but my dad went to Penn State and I went to Pitt. So I root for Pitt if they ever play each other. I also root for West Virginia because if Pitt and Penn State beat West Virginia and West Virginia does good, that makes us look even better. So, but if I had a choice, and Pitt,
oh my God, Mark, I've never heard somebody try to have it both ways more in my entire life than what you're trying to do right now. You're going to call it next week and say, "Hey, you know what? I like the Steelers and the Ravens, and I root for the Steelers to beat the Ravens. But when Baltimore's playing Cincinnati or Cleveland, I really root for them.
They're my main NFL team, so I just like I like to root for a couple different college teams. So,
all right, Mark. Well, I can't. That seems borderline impossible to me. My father-in-law tries to do that. His whole thing was in the 70s and 80s. He said, well, I would pick based on who had a better chance of winning the national championship.
That's the worst kind of it. Yeah. I would pick like based on who had the worst chance. Then you're really riding, you know, ride or die with the team. Fake John and Robinson seeming to point out on Twitter on the smelling salts discussion we've been having.
Yes.
That they might be out of vogue in the NFL because with all the concussion stuff the league has gone through, they were seen as like a, here, throw some smelling salts in front of this guy back in the day. He'll get right back in there. Like that Chris Nowinski guy decried the use of smelling salts, saying you've got to let these guys sit on the sideline in eval.
I haven't had a concussion in like close to 15 years. So I think I'm in the clear to start taking these smelling salts.
I don't know if I've ever had a concussion. Probably. I got hit in the head with a baseball that the catcher threw down to third base. I just didn't put my glove up in time.
What if it broke the baseball?
Because
the sheer
force of, yeah.
Your head.
Yeah. I mean, that would be impressive. I also wore rec specs and, again, had a situation where a guy passed me the ball and I didn't quickly enough in basketball. Snap bad boys clean in half. One other fake John and Robinson smelling salts tweet. Just randomly Jim Tom Sula giving out a bunch of smelling salts to the Washington defense.
Remember when he farted at his first press conference and tried to play it off?
Honestly, Tom Sula's a legend.
He might be back living in Pittsburgh.
He might be listening.
We adore you as a
legend.
As a true Yinzer. The Donnie Football Debrief will be at 3:30 today because Donnie has to go host the Landon Roberts show at 6 o'clock tonight over at Minio's Pizza House in Allison.
Donnie was soliciting questions on Facebook that he, as a true man of the people,
Why not Twitter?
He might have done it on Twitter, too, but I happened to be on Facebook briefly today, and one of the posts that actually showed me was Donnie saying he's got the Landon Roberts show. Submit a question if you know you want something asked of him.
And Outline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's time to talk to Bob Pompiani, and shockingly, no sponsor here for our weekly chat with our partner in crime on the nightly sports call, simulcast most nights on The Fan at 10:35. And you hear him Mondays with Joe Starkey. And you also hear him Saturday on the Pitt pregame show. And he will be there for the backyard brawl. We were just discussing that. There's also been on social media playing out and on our YouTube channel much discussion about Shannon Sharp today. Shannon Sharp is a potential topic for Total Request Thursday, along with Fields or Wilson, Backyard Brawl, or Sid Contract. And right now, Backyard Brawl is winning, not Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp making thousands of dollars off of this Instagram Live from yesterday where it sounded like he was having sex with a woman. He immediately did a read last night on his show for
Cialis, Viagra.
For one of those.
Like Blue Chew or something.
Erection pills. And now they're making shirts about it, too.
So you, I think, are going to be proven right here that this was a work.
I think he did this on purpose. They didn't show anything, but he knew that he'd have a huge audience of people wanting to know what happened, and he got that on YouTube last night.
Now, do you think he actually was getting busy, or they were just faking all of that, too?
I'm going to say fake. Yeah.
So he had just a woman there. He was like, just make noises like we're having sex, or I'm going to cut you in on the profits here. Pretty reasonable.
That's the way it works in 2024.
I mean, back in the day, you used to actually just have to get caught on tape having sex to get ad, you know, reads like that. Now everyone can just cut all the corners.
Bob Pompiani with us. Hello, Bob.
Hello. You talk so much, I have to do a. I'm ready to hit a T-shot. Can you hold on?
Yes.
Yeah, actually. What are you pulling, driver?
Here's my friend Jeff from Lynx Brewing. He's going to describe my shot, and I'll get right back to you. Hold on.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Do you want to whisper the Pompiani shot to us like you would?
Nah, just talking his backswing.
A Frank Nabilo or an Andrew Catalan?
He's lined up. He's lined up. Backswing. He smashed it down the middle.
What did he hit there? Did he pull driver, Jeff?
He went driver. He went driver, and he crushed
it. How far?
He crushed it. About 380.
380? Was he John Daly?
380, Bob.
Hey, I pay him to exaggerate. He's
Are
good.
You on these enhancement pills, just like Shannon Sharp?
Well, if it would work that way, absolutely I would. But I need that to get it to that level. I can't, you know, down the middle is fine.
What course, what hole right now, Bob?
What's that?
What course, what hole?
We're on number 9.
At your home track?
Yes, sir.
There you go.
Tough hole.
Bob, let's first talk about Justin Fields. Russell Wilson commenting after practice today, saying that I'm trying to be smart, was the quote. I'm trying to be smart when talking about his calf injury. A comment like that, does that make you think Justin Fields will play against Denver? And if so, how do you think he'll do?
Yeah, I think he will. I just think this injury with the calf is real for Russell. I think they won a game. He did what they wanted him to do. They're going to go out to a place where you're facing a quarterback as a rookie who's, I think, going to have some problems of his own. So I think the natural thing is to keep Justin in there for this week and then, you know, see what happens after this week when they come on to take on the Chargers.
Arthur Smith basically said, too much respect for Jesse Bates. Didn't want to let him wreck the game for us. That's why we didn't throw to the middle of the football field at all against the Falcons. One, Pomp, do you buy that explanation? Two, do you think that we will see the Steelers throw the ball over the middle of the field against Denver?
They absolutely should, Chris. I mean, we've looked at some of these charts that they have out there, next-gen charts about where these balls go, and it was terrible last week. There was nothing in the middle of the field. It was a carryover of last year. I do believe what they say that, you know, they didn't want a game to be wrecked vis-a-vis don't make the turnover. So they played it cautiously. I think this week they should go after a lot of things in the middle of the field, from Freiermuth to Pickens on slants, Austin over the middle. They have a lot of potential there, but they gotta actually do it.
I'm sensing heavy breathing. Are you walking the course today, or are you in a cart, Bob?
Yeah, I'm not standing sharpening it, I can tell you that. I mean, I'm walking, and I should be in better shape than this, but especially down the middle, you know what I'm talking about. But hey, I'm also trying to talk to you guys, and yeah. I'm not used to doing both. So,
well, are you going to tell us when you need to hit another shot? It sounds like, based on what Jeff told us, you might have wedge in, like something
and you
less
might
than
add,
wedge.
And it might be another 5 minutes based on how far you hit
no,
it.
No, that's
get down
a par.
There.
That's a par five. You know, that's a par five down there. That's, you know that hole, Chris.
That's true.
Yes.
So it's more of just position shot for me.
Oh, all about positioning.
Yep.
Bob, let me ask you about the backyard brawl on Saturday. Starkey wrote a column today saying that he thinks the backyard brawl is a better rivalry than Pitt-Penn State. Do you agree with that?
I'm sorry. I say that again. I was looking at
Starkey wrote
marker.
A column and said he thinks that the backyard brawl is a better rivalry than Pitt-Penn State. Do you agree with that sentiment?
I would say no. I would want to see Pitt-Penn State on a regular basis. I think they're both great. I think you guys both know how I feel. I'm sure you feel the same way. You'd rather see, you know, people play these games. That's what they're all about. I know West Virginia, we were talking last night on the sports call, they have Alabama coming up twice.
Wow.
You know, I home and home, and they did that because Nick Saban's a West Virginia guy. He's no longer there. They may want to mulligan on that. I think they're both great rivalries. I think Pitt-Penn State is bigger.
Bob, last week you were on your own island. You picked the Falcons. The Steelers won. Knowing you, I can't fathom that you're going to go 0-2 to start the season. So the Pompey Annie crystal ball, give us predictions on the backyard brawl and then Steelers Broncos on Sunday.
Well, first of all, my Atlanta prediction was based solely on the fact that Atlanta had a returning 5 offensive line. They had a veteran quarterback who I didn't know was that compromised. And I thought the Steelers offensive line would have some problems. I also figured in a couple of turnovers along the way. None of that happened. So Pittsburgh did a great game plan. They executed. They need touchdowns, of course. Boswell is a big advantage and a luxury. But I think they'll win this week. I just don't think Denver's all that good. I think they're going to have issues with Bo Nix unless he breaks contain and does some magical stuff with his legs. So I like the Steelers 24-16. And I like Pitt to win in a close game against West Virginia. I think West Virginia generally should have a better team. But I think Pitt is going to find a way to win this game, you know, buoyed by the fact that they came back last week the way they did. I think there's a carryover effect to that.
Bob, enjoy the rest of your round. It'll be a memorable round. I am sensing, I think you're going to get one eagle And I think you're going to hole out, and I also think you're going to make at least a 30-foot putt between now and the end of your day.
You're a very optimistic man. I would bet against that. Believe me, I take the odds of play.
Number of French martinis slash transfusions during the round.
One transfusion in the books, one French coming up, and maybe more. We'll see. Depends on how I do about it.
And maybe more, we'll see.
There you go.
I know the hole he's actually playing right now.
Yeah.
At his event.
Mm-hmm.
Old Mulsey, his group in the bunker. Old Mulsey came an inch away from holing one out for an Eagle 3.
Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you very much.
All right. That music means it is time, an hour early, 3:30, for the Donnie Football Debrief, brought to you by Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Lebanon, or Mount Washington, excuse me. I got my mounts confused. Mount Washington, my bad. Steel Mill Saloon. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider. Donnie will be joined by Alandon Roberts, 6, over at Minio's Pizza House in Allison Park. Minio's, a amazing setup they have out there. Great food. Aditi did a show there for a year. It was a great time. We did a couple of spots from there. And so Donnie will be hanging out with one of the lunch pail and hard hat guys, Alandon Roberts, tonight at 6. So let's give Donnie a little pop. And Donnie would love it if you went out there and joined them tonight for pizza, wings, and beer. Don?
The Debrief, September 12, 2024. I'm assuming we do something ahead of the mini high school football preview.
Yes, and then Donnie will let us know about the big Friday game. He will be working from the sidelines tomorrow, of course.
So our guy Matt Cole Folsey, formerly the producer for the midday show, he now likes to fill in every now and then hosting. One of the best things he's ever done is making a counter for the Mike Tomlin press conferences, and he brought them back for 2024. Now, there is a phrase that he has left out here, but he did split them into three categories: trusty repeats, best phrases, and best player descriptions is what Folsey has these cut into.
Okay.
Shockingly, obviously still leads the way by a big margin. He has 18 next to obviously through a few weeks of the
He's
Tomlin
averaging
presser.
9 obviously is a press conference.
To be quite honest with you, getting the silver with 12.
How about if you will? That makes
See, I don't see that one. I don't see component.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you got to get on his case.
I'm
going
to have to text Folsey and say, "Hey, we need component to get some love here." Because
do you think some of these are slipping through? He doesn't view them as being perpetual crutches the way we do. Like, it's almost a subjective thing, Donnie.
I'm going to tell him to get on to that, because he does have challenges, which are at 6. The word significant, which is at 5.
He does love to say significant, man.
The reference to the collective is at 5. The reference to the journey is at 4. So, I mean, he's keeping count of really the smallest things. I'm gonna have to shoot him a text and say we need component to get in on the fun.
Again, Mike is winning, though, when he does this, because he one time let his guard down and admitted he talks in a very specific way to get people to pay attention so it doesn't go in one ear and out the other.
He also said that he just, lies when he does his press conference. Wasn't that another one? Sometimes I stand up and just lie to you guys, I think he said once upon a time.
Yeah, in so many words, yeah.
So we'll go.
Obviously, he still can't get over the obviously crutch,
Mulsey. Let me ask you this about the lying thing. So my parents watch the sports call most every night, and I usually will have little fun nuggets that they noticed. Last week when I was doing one of the sports calls with Richie, he regurgitated a Tomlin quote. That was like the subject of that segment. And I said, Richie, you know this as well as I do. Mike just lies sometimes. My dad goes, the next day goes, you could have found probably a better way to say that than he lies. I was like, but that's what he does. I can say it because I think he basically admitted it.
Yep.
I don't have to sugarcoat it. He lies.
So some of the best phrases, did we want to get to that?
Yeah, I want to get to phrases. You're right, Donnie. Thank you.
The one that he has around the top here, there's a lot of meat on that growth bone. That's one he's really gone to recently. I'm not interested in making you comfortable today.
You know what? The comfort stuff I'm getting really tired of from him.
He did one of those with Kabali over the quarterback stuff. He said, I'm not here to soothe you. I'm not going to soothe you, Kabooms. I'm not going to come over there and rub your shoulders.
The comfort stuff is becoming very
I'm not
tedious.
Going to massage your buttocks, Mr. Kabali, today on this one.
Here was one from the other day, Malzi. Stay ahead of the posse, if you will.
The if you will if part you will. Is what cracks
I was just going to say. I say it like I can only hear that in either Dusty Rhodes' voice or Ken Carmen doing Dusty Rhodes' voice. If you will.
I like this one at the bottom. I treat everybody fair. I don't treat everybody the same.
That was what he said about the practice on Friday.
That sounds like some Socrates stuff there.
Is Socrates the most famous philosopher of all time?
How about Confucius?
Thought about him.
We do like Aristotle? Confucius a lot on this show. We are pro Plato? Confucius.
Oh, Plato.
Don't sleep on Plato.
He was out there.
Donnie, if you had to guess when Plato was alive, without looking, give me a year. Just the first thing that pops into your head.
I always feel like those guys are surprisingly more recent than what we...
All right, give me a number.
I mean, just any year he was alive or like when he was born?
Yeah, just give me a year he was alive.
1750.
That was great.
So you think Plato and George Washington were sharing time?
I don't know.
Well done. That was perfect, Donnie. That was good stuff.
The philosopher Plato lived in classical Greece.
Even know if those guys were real.
He lived before Christ. Lived almost 500 years before Christ. He was born in 427 BC and died in 348 BC.
All right,
Donnie.
I was close.
Let me ask you another one of these. Not a philosopher. Give me a rough time.
You were off by 2,000 years.
in the cosmic scheme of things, that's nothing. When do you think Pablo Picasso lived?
See, that's more recent.
Yeah, he is more recent.
Why'd you say that, Pony?
Because I thought you were asking me.
I said Donnie.
Oh,
the whole point of the exercise, and you ruined it.
But I was excited to share that it was more recent.
Didn't he die in like the early 1900s?
No, 70s, the 1970s.
Holy cow.
I know.
Because everyone thinks Picasso's like 500 years ago.
I see those. Exactly.
He could have been BC for all we know.
My dad was drinking legal. My dad could buy a legal drink when Picasso was still alive.
Donnie, what high school game do you have on Friday?
We have Mars and Aliquippa. May run into our old pal Joe Kopp, speaking of former Midday Show producers. One of the assistant coaches for Eric Kasparovich and the Planets.
And I guarantee you, if we still worked with Joe Kopp, he'd be dealing with a game plan for Aliquippa, and he would get this very highfalutin way about him, and he would say, you know, they're not as good as everyone says. Like, we've got a real plan to stop
them. Well, how is Joe going to be able to multitask getting ready for that game but also sweating out the Steelers and Broncos on Sunday biggest Broncos fan in Western Pennsylvania, a guy that goes to every Steelers Broncos game in Pittsburgh.
Too. He probably has already predicted multiple MVPs for Bo Nix. But you know how he is. He would, if he was in the building still producing right now, he'd be saying things like, you know, everyone talks about Aliquippa. I think we got a handle on them. They'd go out there and get beat by 5 touchdowns. He would have some ridiculous explanation as to why that happened.
Has Aliquippa played games, or do they keep getting lightning stormed out, Donnie? What's going on with them?
They played Avonworth last week. They actually fell behind by 2 touchdowns early, and they just went ahead and won 46-20.
Did you see that Mars updated its mascot?
Yes, it's
to
fantastic.
Start the year? Have you seen it, Malzi?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it is so good.
It better be there tomorrow. It's a road game for the Planets, but it better be at the Pit.
It's a planet that's dressed up kind of like a boxer.
Really?
Where it's got boxing shorts on and boxing gloves.
Is it modeled after any specific planet? You would think the red planet, Mars, maybe Uranus.
Well, no, their colors are blue and gold.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I thought the planet was blue.
Venus or Neptune are your blue and, well, Venus is more green, but Neptune's your blue planet.
But he's boxing garb.
I kind of like that. I think that one's good.
He's cute.
He's cute?
Actually, no, he is red. Donnie's wrong. The colors are, but they've actually made him look like, here, Malzi, I've got an article from the Butler Eagle that I'm going to flip around for you here.
Did they change their school colors?
No. The shorts and everything he wears are blue and yellow.
That makes more sense.
But as the planet, he's actually red.
I think that's a good job. He's wearing the colors, but he's his authentic red self.
Really, really good attention to detail.
Oh, they're raising him right up there in Mars.
Way better than that freak Steely McBeam. God, do I hate that guy. Remember we had the lady on who came up with the name?
Yes, Diane.
Diane. She was the best.
Little ditty about Jack and Diane. Sorry.
Man, you know she was probably freaking out when they didn't convert that fourth and one in the Falcons game. I can just picture her and her Pittsburgh accent going bonkers. What happened to the guy that used to, his son used to surreptitiously videotape him watching the game?
Oh, and then epitome of a yinzer.
Yes. And he'd call into the show all the time. I loved that guy. Remember he would say, put him, like, what was his expression?
Pick him up and put him down.
I love that guy.
Hold on. I think it was just like E. Yinzer, maybe.
We need more of his content.
Epitome of yinzer. Last time did he post? No, he's still been posting.
Yeah, we got to get him back in the mix.
There's a picture of him watching the game going, where's your legs at?
We need that guy.